This is in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 18. Oh, the cable may appear today, huh? We hope so. Okay. By the mercy of the devotees, the cable may appear. All right. In the meantime, we will shout. So, I will sing the verse, and then I will explain to you what will be our method of study for the next 5 days. It will be in three parts. So first I will just sing the verse. It's from Bhagavatam. This verse was given to me by His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami, who has already passed away from this world. When we asked him how to study Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave us this verse, 12th canto, chapter 13, verse 18. And it is the last line of this verse that explains the method of study. And I'll explain it to you also after I sing the verse. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyamekamamalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatta Jnana Virakabhakti Saitam Naishkamyamavishkitam Tachinvansu Patan Vichavana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Nara. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahansas. Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. So, purpose of this class is to, by the end of 5 days, you should be completely liberated. At least while you're in the class. Oh, can people... Okay, how many people here do not know English? Raise your hand. Who? Oh, you better say that in Nepali because they won't understand. Right? Okay, say it in Nepali. How many people need Nepali translation? Okay, so maybe you should go in some corner. And we are getting a new cable today. Try it. Thank you. Okay, Nepali translation in backside and simultaneous, yeah? I'll try to speak slowly. Oh, we have more people than... So many people. Nepali translation, yes. Backside. Okay. Oh, is this light working also? We can have some more... I'm sure it will get dark. Okay, now we will see how this works. Hare Krishna. No, closer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Sounds funny. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is that worse or better?
Worse.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, is that good or is it no?
No,
worse. Okay, better not to use the right.
No, it's very fast.
It's not good, it's distorted.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to charge the battery.
Is it?
Okay. We will start. Yeah, that is okay. So point number one to study is hearing, Srinvang. Hearing. Hare Krishna? This is not working. Is it working? No, okay. So then you can take it away. So. Try to fix it by tomorrow. Okay, and we can turn this light on. Eventually it will become very dark. Okay, Srinvang, point number one, hearing. And point number two, Supatan. chanting or studying. Chanting. Hearing and chanting. So first thing we did was to hear and chant the verses. Now, secondly, supatan also means to study very intensely. So we will also be studying in the class. Number three, vicharana paro. That means to think about it, meditate, apply it to your life. You would have homework every day, but nothing to write, only how to see in your life different things that I will tell you. Okay, tomorrow you must see this. See how this is in your life. So I will give you a little homework, and next day you come back and you tell me how you did your homework, how you saw these different things. So the purpose of studying Bhagavatam is to change your vision, how you see the world, how you see Krishna in your life, how Krishna changes your life. So we want to make Krishna appear in your daily life. So not just I say something and you forget it tomorrow, but I will give you some way that you can remember tomorrow as you go through your life. Some of you may be in the work, some of you may be in the school, in studying. So I want you, and some of you in the family, doing your housework. So I want you to take home this homework and see Krishna in your family, in your work, in your school, in different ways. That will be your homework. That will be vicharana paro. So Kunti, she was a pure devotee of Krishna. She was a great queen. She was a great mother, and she was a great princess. In her childhood, she satisfied Durvasa Muni, who was a very angry sage. He can lose his temper. He can also give benediction. He can also curse somebody very quickly. So her father was very smart. He thought, okay, if I give a child to serve this sage, then he cannot find fault. Because if she makes a mistake, she's just a child. He cannot curse. But she didn't make any mistake. He would come at 12 o'clock midnight and say, where is my food? And she'll say, ready. And sometimes he will come 2 in the morning, where is my food? Ready. He said, oh, I don't want. And she won't get angry. She'll say, okay, your pleasure. And so she satisfied Durvasa, and he gave her a mantra where she could call any demigod. And when she was in the forest with her husband Pandu, then she called the demigods to have her children, Yudhisthira by Dhamraj, Bhima by Vayu, and Arjuna by Indra. And so she had her three Pandavas, and her co-wife had the twins, Nakula and Sahadev. So Queen Kunti, she was the mother of Mahatmas, a whole family of Mahatmas. And she was the top Mahatma of all the family. As a mother, she sacrificed everything for her children. But ultimately, she was showing her attraction, her attachment for Krishna, no matter what happened. So we will study her prayers. Her prayers show her great devotion, her dependence on Krishna. At the same time, her knowledge and her understanding. Now, Kunti is incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. In this world, what is success? When you hear success, what do people say success means? Who can say? Any of you? Success means? Huh?
Material? Victory over the mission is the success.
Victory over the?
Victory over the mission.
Over the misery.
Mission.
Acha, victory. Okay. So people in this world, when you say, suppose you go to the school and you say, what is success? What will the students say?
Good marks.
Achievement of goals.
Achievement, good marks.
Achievement of goals.
Goals. Yeah, what is the goal? What is
good marks?
Good marks. And what? But good marks is not the goal. After you get good marks, what is the use? I mean, what is the help? After the good marks, then what?
Better university.
Better university.
Contribution to society.
Yes.
Contribution to society.
Recognition. Even more than recognition, what else people want here?
Fame.
And more than fame?
Money.
And they want to go to the foreign countries. I saw we just passed by the ministry of, what is that, foreign culture, foreign ministry. So many people, why are they outside? They want passport. This is success. That success means passport. I will go to the foreign country and make lots of money and send to Nepal. Yes, this is what people, they think this is success. So in the material world, they say, okay, money, nice house, nice job, nice car, everything, this is success. Computers, electronics. But this is not success in the spiritual world. So for Kunti, I mean, she was success incarnation. But even though she's success incarnation, she had so many problems. If you think, okay, so if you have success, then there will be no problem. But no, so many problems. Now why she's success incarnation, why she had so many problems? Kingdom was taken away, and daughter was insulted, daughter-in-law was insulted, and the house was set on fire, so many problems. Why is that? So Prabhupada explains that Bhishma Dev, he was lying on the arrows, bed of arrows, and he was crying. He said, why these Pandavas had so much problem? Krishna is their friend, and Arjuna is the best archer, Bhima is the strongest. Why so many problems? So Prabhupada answered the question, why great devotees must suffer sometimes? The answer is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. So that means the Lord, he is like the housewife, and the daughter-in-law is the devotee. And, sorry, the daughter-in-law is the world, and the daughter is the devotee. The daughter of the Lord is the devotee. So Krishna teaches the whole world how to live as a devotee by teaching through his devotee. So through the Pandavas, through Kunti, Krishna was teaching everybody how to live in this world. Even this world, there will be problems, but how to live happily. So today's class, we will hear Kunti, she will be glorifying Krishna, saying so many nice, beautiful things about Krishna, his names and his form. And tomorrow we will hear Kunti express her gratitude, her thanks for Krishna's protection. And on Tuesday, we will hear about Krishna, how he's contradictory behavior, how he's... It is very bewildering. Sometimes he's partial to some people. He's impartial at the same time. He gives everybody equal things. But at the same time, he's partial to some people. How is this possible? How he can be both impartial and partial? So we will find out on Tuesday. On Wednesday, how Krishna appears in this world, how he can appear for us. And on Thursday, how to love Krishna. So today, first verse, Kunti Dev says, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality, unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. So Krishna is showing himself to Kunti. Kunti sees Krishna in three ways. That means inside, outside, and also as Bhagavan. But although he's inside everything, outside everything, and he's standing right in front of her, face to face, nobody can see him. He's invisible to everybody. Even he's everywhere, but nobody can see him. He's here right now. He's within this air. He's within everywhere. This floor is his energy. We are his energy. No, but we cannot see. Very difficult to see. So first thing she says, Namashe Purusham Twadyam. I offer obeisances to you, original person. Lord Brahma, he said the same thing, Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. But Kunti is higher than Brahma because she is seeing Krishna face to face. Brahma, he had to go into meditation and then he sees only in the heart. But Kunti could see face to face. So she's in a better position than Brahma. She is saying Ishwaram. Ishwaram means controller. So according to Vishnu Chakravarti, controller, this Ishwara, this is Mahavishnu. I don't know if you have a picture of Mahavishnu. I don't remember. Somewhere. Maybe here. Oh, there is Mahavishnu. See, there he is. And from Mahavishnu, all the universes are coming out from the pores of his body. There's Mahavishnu at the bottom there. And you can see him. So this is generally, when we say Ishvara, we mean the creator of the world. So that's Mahavishnu. So Kunti, she's seeing Krishna as Ishvara, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is so different from how Yashoda sees Krishna. Yashoda just sees Krishna as her little boy. If you tell Yashoda, you know, Krishna, he's God, she'll just laugh and she'll say, no, you don't understand my son. He's my son. How he can be God? You don't understand. If he's hungry, he cries. He gets angry. How he can be God? So this is the difference between Kunti and Yashoda. So on Tuesday, we'll be discussing a little bit more about this. But today we can just understand that she's seeing Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she's offering him prayers. Yashoda would never offer prayers to Krishna. No way. But Kunti, she's in this awe and reverence. She understands Krishna, although he's appearing as her nephew, her brother's son, still she sees him as God. So Ishvara, Prakriti, Param, way above this material world. But at the same time, you are within everything. Outside everything, you're also inside everything, in my heart and also outside. Because she just saw Krishna go and save Uttara. Uttara had Parikshit in her womb, and a Brahmastra weapon was sent, and Krishna went inside the womb of Uttara and protected the baby from the weapon. So she saw this, so she was wondering, okay, is he inside, is he outside, or is he just here in front of me? Where is he? What is he? She was a little bit puzzled. So people today are also puzzled about God. They say, well, if he's everywhere, he cannot be a person. When Archbishop of the Church of England was asked, what is your concept of God? He said, God is a burning bush. Because in the Bible, one time, God appeared like a burning bush. But that doesn't mean he is a burning bush. He can come in any form. You know, something, a burning tree. You know, yeah, you say in Nepali, a burning bush means a small plant like this, and on fire, on fire. Yeah. But this doesn't mean that he is that. He may appear like that, or that's how he appears to some people. But not to us. We see him as a beautiful young boy. And we understand that he has a form. So some people think, oh, I am also all-pervading. I am God. Many people, how can they believe? I don't know. But they think, I am everywhere. Even when Prabhupada was in New York, when he first came to New York in 1966, my god sister, Jadarani, she said to, she was thinking she is all-pervading. So Prabhupada told her, okay, can you come, first time she came to temple, and he said, can you come tomorrow morning at 6 in the morning, we have our first prayer. She said, yes, no problem. He says, you live close by? She said, yes, I am very near. But actually she realized she wasn't so all-pervading because she had to take the train 2 hours to get to, and then she realized that she wasn't so all-pervading as she thought she was, because she had to go very far to catch the train and come there. So this is, it doesn't make sense, this philosophy that I am all-pervading. If you're all pervading, then why you have to take the airplane to go to India? You're already there. Or why you have to go to the West? You're already in the foreign country. You don't need to get a passport. You're all pervading. No, you're not all pervading. You're just in this one small place. And so people are confused about Krishna. They're confused about themselves. In India, some people pray, "You are my father, tameva mata, tameva pita." But you say, okay, who is Pita? Who is your mata? I don't know. You ask them, they say, I don't know. But we can tell you, we know who is your Pita, who is your mata. It's Krishna. It's Krishna. So, one time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to some religious leaders of the churches in L.A. And he asked, who is God? Nobody answered. Nobody spoke. So Prabhupada said, okay, you don't know, but I know. It's Krishna. Krishna is God. I'm telling you. You don't know, so I'm going to tell you who is God. So why don't you accept? It's Krishna. No, very difficult. So Kunti is beginning her prayers by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, inside, outside, and also face to face. So my first homework to you is going to be this. First question. How can you see Krishna in your life every day? In your work, in your school, in your family? How can you see Krishna? We should not simply mechanically receive the teachings of our guru. We must be thoughtful. We must use our intelligence. Realize and practice what you hear from your spiritual master by observing the world around you. So, for example, there is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a section, it's called 24 Gurus. So the 24 Gurus, one sage, he said, instead of seeing the world as sense objects, we should see the whole world as our guru, shiksha gurus. From the earth, we can learn tolerance. How tolerant is the earth? From the sun, we can learn renunciation, or how to accept and how to give, how to receive, how to give. And the summer season, the sun is taking up all the water. In the rainy season, the sun is distributing. So the devotee, he accepts gifts from people. He gets things in this world. Not only the devotee, everybody, all of us, we get things. But we should not just hold on to these things. At the right time, we should give them to the proper person who comes. So that is like the sun. The sun is taking and it's also giving. The ocean is very steady, no matter how much water goes in it and how much water goes out. So we should learn from the ocean to be steady in happiness and distress. So, in our daily life, let us just get some ideas, so you get some ideas how to look for Krishna tomorrow in your life. Can anybody give me one idea? How can you see Krishna in your life? You're going about your daily life, and now tomorrow you're going to be looking for Krishna. It'll be a little different from your usual day. You'll be going through your day, but you'll have your eyes open, your ears open, and your mind open, looking for how Krishna comes in your life, or trying to see Krishna somehow more in your life. Now, who can give me some idea of what to look for, how to see Krishna? Even like, okay, think of today. How could you see Krishna in your life today? Any ideas? Hare Krishna. Yes. How to see Krishna in your life? In your work? Can anybody see Krishna in their work? Very difficult. What's that?
By hearing Krishna
Katha. Krishna Katha, okay, that's a direct way to see Krishna. All right. Anybody else have some idea?
Well, chanting.
Well, chanting, okay. Oh, breathing in your breath, okay. Without your breath, without Krishna giving your breath, you could not be alive. Very good. See Krishna in every breath. Yes? In water. He's the taste of water. Oh, you have read Bhagavad Gita. Very nice. Okay, next time you take a drink of water, remember, that taste is Krishna. So tomorrow, anybody who drinks water, you can't forget Krishna. Very good. If you see a tree, Prabhupada said, don't see the tree. It's the energy of Krishna, the outside, the body of the tree is material energy. Inside, there's a soul, spiritual energy. Yes. Anything else? Any other way we can see Krishna in Kathmandu Valley? In this... Yes. I know what Krishna says in Gita. I am Mount Everest. I'm the Himalayas, sorry. I'm meditating. I think these stairs are Mount Everest, so I have to climb Mount Everest every day, you know, to reach here. Yeah, no, I am the Himalayas, he says. Stavaranam Himalayam. If you see the mountains, you can think of Krishna. And who cannot see the mountains here except if it's a very cloudy day?
Even nature itself.
Yes. Okay. Flowers are the smile of the universe. Okay. So tomorrow I want you all to look. You can look in nature. You can look in people. You can look in your family. You can look in your school. You have to look very hard in your school or in your work. But look for Krishna. Try to see Krishna. Try to see the end of Krishna coming in your life tomorrow. That's your first question. You'll get one more, and that will come after this next verse, verse 19. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Okay, so Krishna is very difficult, irreproachable. Who cannot see Krishna? Many, many people. Who cannot see? Yeah, they're doing translation. Nepali translation. Most people, like, okay, what categories? The demons? Okay.
Ignorant.
Ignorant, demons. Mode of ignorance, passion.
Those who don't have faith.
Those who don't have faith, faithless, atheists. Okay, karmis, gyanis, impersonalists.
Those who think they're
all pervading. Yes. How can they see Krishna? Just look in the mirror and they see. They see Krishna every day. They just look in the mirror. And they think, oh yes. But after a few years, you look in the mirror and it's somebody else in the mirror. It's not the same Krishna as that was there 10 years ago. You look... In fact, that's a very good meditation. Every morning you go and you look in the mirror and you think, I am not what I see. This is not me. Because you're not really seeing who you are. The soul is... You cannot see the soul. You only see the covering of the soul. You see the covering. You see the body. You see the blood, the bones, the skin. But you don't see you. You don't see the real you. So, that is a good meditation. Even okay, he's saying those who are self-realized can see, those who are not self-realized cannot see. But even if you're not self-realized, if you're following the path of Krishna consciousness, you can see. You can see right there the deities. There is Krishna. There is Krishna. Pictures, the deities. You can see very easily. But somebody who is not, who is in thinking of, they'll come and they'll say, oh, I just see some stone here, or some brass statue, I don't see, where is God? God can be right in front, and they'll say, oh, what is the deity made of? So one time Jananivas, our pujari in Mayapur, somebody asked him, what is the deity made of? Wrong person to ask. So he said, what is your heart made of? That is what the deity is made of. So if you see stone, your heart is made of stone. You see brass, your heart is made of brass. Metal heart, steel frame heart. And if you see Krishna, then you're spiritual. So Krishna, three reasons why we cannot see Krishna. This verse tells us, first of all, there's a curtain of Maya covering our eyes. That's why. Krishna is right here, but we cannot see because there's a curtain of Maya covering our eyes. Yoga Maya, Mahamaya. First reason. Second reason, Krishna is way beyond our material senses. He's spiritual. We cannot see with our material eyes something spiritual. So he's beyond. He's an oksaja. Third reason, muta drisha. We have vision of muta. We have the vision of fools. Mudha, Prabhupada's favorite word. If you look up in the folio, Bhaktivedanta folio, so many thousands of times the word comes, mudha, 3,000 something. It's Prabhupada's favorite word, rascal, fool.
But what is the second reason?
Second reason, Krishna is beyond. He is adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means, if you divide the Sanskrit word, aksaja adha. Aksaja means your vision. Adha means down. He puts your vision down. Your material vision is down in front of him. You cannot see him with your material eyes. So, and then there is the muta. What is the vision of the fools? The fools mean they think all they see money, they see just what is outside here. They don't see actually what is really good. They don't see the spiritual world. They don't see the spiritual life. So one time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. So one person came in that class who thought he was God. And he was wearing a big black robe with suns and moons and stars. Means like he thought he's controlling the suns, the moons, and long, long hair down to here. And Prabhupada was giving lecture, and this man was staring at Prabhupada like this. And after the lecture, he raised his hand and he said to Prabhupada, what about Buddha? He thought he was Buddha. So Prabhupada said, what about Buddha? And then after that, this man said, can you see God? He said to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, because you are in the way. Get out of the way. Means his false ego was so big that he was stopping everyone from seeing. Because he's thinking he's God and he's trying to fill the room with himself. But Prabhupada finished him. Usually I can see God, but today it's a problem because your ego is so big that he's covering so much Maya. So much Maya. And these people who think they're God, they cover everybody else's eyes as well. Sometimes they convince people that they are God too. It's because people don't know who is God. So they think, well, could be, you know. I don't know who's God. Could be that person with the big robe and the stars and moons. So people don't know. So Kunti is going to tell them very soon who is God. So some people cannot see. This is our problem. Why we cannot see? We have this curtain in front of our eyes. We have Krishna is very far above in the spiritual world. And third reason is we see with the vision of mudhas, with the vision of fools. So we cannot see Krishna. So question number two for you. You have a choice. First question, how to see Krishna in your life. Second question, if you cannot see Krishna, why not? What is stopping you from seeing Krishna in your life? So you have a hard day. You cannot see Krishna. Okay, so why? What is stopping you? What is the problem? Why can't you see Krishna in your life? every day, every second, every moment. What is stopping you? What is holding us back from seeing Krishna? So, who can give me some ideas? What could be the problem? Why cannot we see Krishna all the time? What is the problem for us, for our mind? Yeah? We are thinking ourselves as controller. Okay. Yes. Yes, you have, yeah? We want to enjoy. Okay, controller, enjoyer. Too attached. Okay, we have some attachments. So instead of thinking of Krishna, we're thinking of our attachments. Or if we lose our something, then we're thinking of that. Oh, I lost that. Oh, how to get it back. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I just lost my passport, or I lost my wallet, or I lost my girlfriend, or whatever. But you don't have girlfriends here and boyfriends. You just get married. Okay, that's good. This is very good culture. Yes. So these are problems. These are problems. Actually, anything else? Any other ideas? Yeah?
We're not conscious.
Yes. Krishna conscious. We're not Krishna. We may be conscious. But what kind of consciousness we have, that is, we don't know. Okay, because we're not spiritually conscious, so then we don't think of, we don't see Krishna. It's hard for us to see Krishna in our life. Okay, obstacles. Obstacles. Sometimes when we try to chant our japa, there is one biggest problem, and that is inattention while chanting. So as Prabhuji was saying, it's a problem of consciousness. So our obstacle to seeing Krishna in our daily life can be the same as our obstacle to chanting Hare Krishna with attention. Three problems are there. One is distraction. One reason we cannot see Krishna, somebody, will be walking down the street and then somebody will put some music and our ears will go to that music and say, oh, what is that? I like that music. No, Hare Krishna. No, oh, that music, yes. So distraction. Or else perhaps in the family something happens. If you have a child, the child gets hurt and you say, oh no, now I have to go to the hospital. And so you get distracted, you forget Krishna. So one reason, one obstacle can be distraction. Another one can be indifference. Why should I always think of Krishna? I can think of him sometimes and think of other things sometimes and, half-half or less. So indifference. And third one is laziness. I'm just too tired to think of Krishna now. I had a hard day. My work was very hard and I must sleep now. Laziness. So distraction, indifference, and laziness. These are obstacles to seeing Krishna in our life all the time. Okay. So I want you all to, choose one question, how to see Krishna in my life tomorrow, from the time you wake up to the time you come here. And if you cannot do that, then, okay, why can't I see Krishna? What is taking my mind away? Why is my mind going away from Krishna? What is the problem? Okay, next verse. Kunti is saying to Krishna, why you come? You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So she's saying, Krishna, you're coming here not for me. You're coming here for all these great philosophers, all these great sages. You're coming to teach them, not for us women. But actually, the fact is, Krishna is coming for Kunti. He is coming. He's going on his way to Dwaraka. He's coming to take the dust of her feet
before he goes on his trip to Dwarka, because she is his, like, mother. She is his auntie. She is the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. So he's coming to Kunti to take permission to go to Dwarka, to get the blessings. Is she going to give her blessings to go to Dwarka? No. Because she wants him to stay with her in Hastinapur. So he's coming to get the blessing, to take the dust of her feet. And she's thinking, oh, he's not coming for me. He's coming here actually for the great sages. So these great sages, they go to the forest, they go to the Himalayas. You have the Himalayas here. But I don't know if there's any sages left in the Himalayas these days. I don't think so. No, Finnish, they all came down to get a job in the computer. No more sages in the Himalayas. I think a computer is more important these days. I have so many computer schools on the way here. But in the 5,000 years ago, there were sages in the Himalayas. And they used to never go to the cities like Hastinapur, because they were doing their meditation just so they can see Krishna's tip of his lotus feet. But they didn't get to see Krishna's lotus feet. Only Kunti, she saw the whole body. Krishna was coming and living in Kunti's house and visiting all the time. So who was more fortunate, the sages or Kunti? Kunti. But she's very humble. She says, no, you're coming here for those sages. So the sages, they had to leave the Himalaya, they had to leave the jungle and go and visit Kunti so they could get darshan of Krishna. They had to go to Kunti's house. She was Grihastha. They had to go to the Grihasthi to see Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. So, Salbari Muni, he's an example. He went to the bottom of Jamuna to get away from bad association. But he didn't make, he saw the fish and he fell down into bad association. So these sages, Krishna came for the devotees. He came for devotees like Kunti, the Pandavas. And their house was a holy dham, the Pandavas' house, because Krishna was there. Narada Muni, he told Yudhisthira, in the world, you Pandavas, you are the most fortunate, because Krishna is your friend. He's your chariot driver. He's your guru. He's your messenger. He's your protector. He's everything for you. So actually the real reason Krishna came was for his devotees like Kunti. But she's showing us that we should not be proud of our position. That is, humility is very important for devotional life. Prabhupada said, the Lord is so kind, he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows sincerity of purpose. So it is our sincerity. If we try to be a good servant of Krishna, sincerely, and Krishna will come to us. He will accept us. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote me a letter when Prabhupada was here, and he told me how to do my service for him. Three things. Number one, sincerity. And number two, enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, sincerity. And number three, cooperation with all the other devotees. Because you cannot go back to Godhead alone. This is Sankirtan Yajna. All together we chant. All together we go back to Godhead. Cooperation. Sincerity, enthusiasm, and cooperation. Cooperation. So humility is very important for spiritual life. It is the door to the higher level. It is the door to the spiritual world. If your false ego is too big, like this one who wanted to be God, you cannot fit into the door of the spiritual world. The door is too small for your big false ego to go. You have to become very humble to go to the spiritual world. Humility. Our tree, we are growing a tree of bhakti in our heart. A nice tree. And the roots of that tree are humility. So the more deep the roots of the tree grow, then the taller the tree of bhakti grows. So humility is very important. And that is a qualification to see Krishna. Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time had to have an operation. He went into anesthesia. And he had a vision of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was giving a report to the previous gurus, the previous acharyas. And he said, these people on this earth have no spiritual qualifications. They cannot follow any rules. Only one qualification they have. They follow me. And they surrender to me. They have faith in me, Guru Nishtha. So we had faith in Srila Prabhupada, even though we made so many mistakes. But we tried to serve him and we had faith, and because of that faith, then the movement was going on. Prabhupada told us that you people, you took too many drugs, your minds are finished. But because you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's why everything is going. So this Hare Krishna mantra is very, very powerful. It can clean all the garbage out from your mind, from your heart, and you become qualified to serve Krishna. So we just can humbly chant the holy name of the Lord, and then we can become qualified. So the next verse, 21. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagapa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, pleasure of Devaki, boy of Nanda, and other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and enlivener of the cows and the senses. So Kunti is glorifying names of Krishna, Krishna, Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandana, Nandagopa Kumaraya, Govinda, different names of Krishna. So I would like to ask you to think 1 minute, what is your favorite name of Krishna?
Krishna.
Think. Okay, Krishna, any other name? Yeah?
Gauranga.
Shamsunda. Gora.
Keshav.
Krishna. Okay. Huh? Damodar. Madhusudana. Govinda. Gopal. Giri. Giri Vardhari. Okay. Ram. Very good. So these are Balaram. Oh, Balaram. These are names of Krishna. So Kunti is also telling us, before she said Ishvara, Prakrite Param. So she said Ishvara, but she didn't say who is that Ishvara. But of course she's talking to Krishna and she's saying, you are Ishvara, but we may misunderstand. So she said, okay, who is that Ishvara? It's Krishna. Krishnaya. Which Krishna? Vasudevaya, son of Vasudev, son of Devaki, Devaki Nandana. But you might get confused. Well, maybe, you know, there's a lot of Krishnas and they have father Vasudev. Just like myself, I was in Vrindavan and I'm Narayani and I had son Govinda. And two more Narayanis were there. They had sons Govinda. Same time. Three Narayanis, three sons Govinda. So it's possible to get many Krishnas and many Vasudevs and Devaki with the same Krishna son. Happened to me. So, therefore, she said, Nandagopa Kumaraya. Now, that's a very special Krishna. Not just Devaki and Vasudev, but also son of Nanda and friend of the Gopas, Kumara. And not only that, he's Govinda. He's the friend of the cows and friend and pleasure of the senses. So Prabhupada said this Govinda means we are looking for sense gratification, but if we associate with Krishna, we'll get so much happiness, so much sense gratification if we connect with Krishna. Because that happiness is spiritual, and that will never stop. We'll always have it, Even after we leave this body, we'll have it. Even if our body is sick, we'll still have that happiness. Now, we have our young bodies, so we can enjoy in the material way. But when you get old, forget it. Nothing works anymore. You can't imagine, because you're all young. But when you get old, then every morning you wake up and the pain is in a different place. Sometimes here, oh, my knees, oh, this, that. The body just deteriorates while you're still living inside. It's a very difficult. And don't think it won't happen to you. It will happen to you too. Prabhupada said that to us. We didn't believe. He was 70, 80. And he said, don't think it won't happen. And we thought, how can it happen? We are so young. But it finishes. It does after some time. Too soon. So, better to connect with Govinda, chant the holy name, connect with the spiritual happiness, and then you will never lose. So Krishna is Ishvara, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Radhanath Swami tells a story that he was in India, before he was a devotee, he came to the pandal where Prabhupada was speaking. And there were like 20,000 people, and the devotees were up on the stage, and he was way in the back. And then he felt somebody was tugging on his jodhpur, and he looked down, and he saw a little girl, Saraswati, 4 years old. She's the daughter of Malati. And Saraswati said to Radhanath Swami, guess what? And he said, what? And she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was her preaching. So Prabhupada said, if that's all you know, you can say that. There was one child in, I think, Bombay, 2 years old child. So they lived on an apartment building, and there were like 4 or 5 apartments in one floor. So this child used to go to the different apartments, to the people, 2 years old, and beg. Chapati one place, milk another place. But these people, they were non-veg and they were ashamed. You know, they didn't want to give, they knew the child was vegetarian, so they were afraid to give anything. So they would give fruit or something. But then after a while, they started becoming vegetarian so they could feed this little child. And then after some more time, they started chanting Hare Krishna. They got Japamala and they all started chanting Hare Krishna. And then after a while, the whole floor became devotees from this 2-year-old child going and begging food. And then the child moved to the floor below and started preaching. So anybody can preach. Anybody can say something about Krishna. If a 2-year-old child can do, so can you. So all you have to know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna. So last verse, also Vishnu Chakravarti says some understanding about these words. Krishna, source of all avatars. So there are so many, Vishnu, Varaha, Vamana, Nishinga. Krishna is the source. Another meaning of Krishna. Vasudev, why Kunti is saying Vasudev? Because Vasudev is her brother. So she's mentioning Vasudevaya because Vasudev is Kunti's brother. So Krishna, this is her relationship with Krishna as a family member. Then Devaki Nandana, also sister-in-law. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. So Kunti is in the relationship of Vatsayaras. She is in the relationship of motherly affection to Krishna. She sees Krishna as her son. So Kumara is the childhood pastimes of Krishna with Nanda and Yashoda. It is the same as her relationship with Krishna. And then she calls him Govinda. Govinda is the Kaishora age when he becomes 11 years old, 11 to 15, after lifting Govardhan Hill. So these are more meanings given by the Acharyas. So the last verse for today, verse 22. Nama pankachanabaya, nama pankachamaline, ma pankachanetraya, namaste pankajangraye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with depression like a lotus flower,
who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So the name and now the form of Krishna. So we will start at Krishna's lotus feet. Think of Krishna's lotus feet. What can you tell me about Krishna's lotus feet? Can anybody tell me something about Krishna's feet? Blue, okay. A red underneath, okay. Tulsi, reddish. Signs underneath is there's the flag and the thunderbolt, lotus flower, signs on his feet underneath. Okay. Hare Krishna. What else can you tell me about Krishna's lotus feet? Soft and like a lotus. Soft like a lotus. Okay. Raise your hand if you want to say something. Krishna's lotus feet. We're meditating on Krishna's lotus feet right now. We've heard many things.
Just be full of love and compassion.
Full of love and compassion, okay. They're the shelter of the material world, the spiritual world. They're like a boat that can carry us across the ocean of material ignorance, material world. What else do we know about his lotus feet?
Boat.
What's that?
Boat.
Boat?
Boat. Sign
boat. Oh, boat. The sign of the bow. Haribo, Jai Patri Prabhu. We are just finishing our class. But it's okay. You just came for... Okay, we're discussing the lotus feet of Krishna. So we want to know what you know about Krishna's lotus feet. When you think of Krishna's lotus feet, what comes in your mind?
Shelter.
Huh?
Shelter.
Shelter. Yes?
Boat.
Boat. Yeah, that's what I said. We agree. What kind of boat? Yeah, crosses. It's a lotus boat that takes us... Palapalava. Very good. Takes us across the ocean of this material world. Okay.
Those who get to see Krishna's lotus feet must be very fortunate.
Those who see Krishna's lotus feet are very fortunate. Okay. Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, now we're going to move up to the navel. Nama Pankajanabhaya. Krishna's navel. What do we know about his navel? It can be also his incarnation too. I mean, we're non-sectarian here. We accept all incarnations of Krishna as well. What do we know about his... Yes?
Fragrant.
Fragrant, okay. It's also very deep. Why is Krishna's navel so deep? Huh? Yes, the universe comes out from the lotus. A lotus grows from his navel. I think, that's Mahavishnu. A lotus comes out and the whole universe is on top of it. Okay, Krishna's eyes. What can we say about the eyes of Krishna? Lotus, that we know. That's Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Full of compassion.
Full of compassion.
Reddish.
Reddish. Okay.
Ecstasy.
Okay.
Naughtiness.
Huh?
Naughtiness.
Okay, now we're getting to Goloka Vrindavan. Yes? Naughtiness.
Lotus shaped.
Lotus shaped. Okay. Merciful.
Krishna.
Huh?
Crying?
Crying for his devotees, yes. When he saw Bhishma on the bed of arrows, he was crying. Krishna was crying, yeah. He came there and he saw Bhishma on the bed of arrows and he was crying. When you see the glance of Krishna, then all your misery is gone. So you have to go and look at the deities.
It is described in the 10th canto. After Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys, then they all transformed into Vishnu. And from the glance of Vishnu came something like the mode of passion. So in the verse, it says that from the glance, when you get this glance, it increases your desires for devotional service. So generally, if you get the glance of people in the material world, it increases your desire for something else, for enjoying material things. If you get the glance of somebody in this world, if you get the glance of Krishna, your desires increase, but not for material things, for spiritual things. So if you get the glance of Krishna, your desire will increase for devotional service. So this is the wonderful thing about Krishna's glance. And his smile is like the mode of goodness. If you get the smile of Krishna, that will protect your spiritual desires. So the glance will give you desires, and the smile will protect those desires, so you don't lose them. Because sometimes you go in the world and you forget Krishna. You forget your spiritual desires. So Prabhupada said that I would just like to review a little bit what we did today. We're hearing these verses of Queen Kunti. We're studying in three ways. First, before we started our class, we chanted and we heard all the verses. So Shinvan, chanting, Supatan, hearing, chanting, studying. Shinvan is hearing and Supatan is chanting or studying very carefully. Shinvan, Supatan, Vicharana Paro means to think about what you heard very carefully and apply it to your life. So I gave you two homework questions for tomorrow. Queen Kunti, she was seeing Krishna in her life, inside, outside, and face to face. Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. So tomorrow, before you come here, I want you to see, look for Krishna in your life. How are you seeing Krishna in your life? In your school, in your work, in your family, in your home, just in your day. We got some ideas here. When you drink water, that taste of water is Krishna. We got some ideas how to see Krishna. So I want you to see, look for the hand of Krishna tomorrow in your life, and tomorrow we will meet again. And before class, I will ask you, what was your experience in your day tomorrow? How did you see Krishna in your life? More than usual. We want you to expand your vision of Krishna. And we discussed the 24 gurus, how you can see Krishna in the earth, how the earth is so tolerant, see Krishna in the sun, see Krishna in the moon, see Krishna in the wind. So tomorrow, all of you are going to be looking for Krishna very, very seriously. Now that's the first homework question. The second homework question, what happens if you cannot see Krishna in your day tomorrow? Why? Why can't you see Krishna? What is the obstacle that is blocking your vision so you cannot see Krishna? We gave you some ideas, three obstacles, just like when you have, we want to become more conscious of Krishna in our life tomorrow. So just like when we are not chanting Hare Krishna mantra attentively in our japa, there are three problems: distraction, laziness, and indifference. So the same obstacles, the same problems may be there in our day that are preventing us from seeing Krishna in our day, in our life. We might be distracted by so many things, or we might just not care. Why should I see Krishna? So many things I can see else. Or we might just be lazy, tired. Such a hard day I had today. I cannot see Krishna today. Time to sleep. So three reasons, three obstacles to seeing Krishna. Kunti explained in her prayers, we cannot see Krishna. There's a curtain of Maya covering our eyes. Maya Javanika Chanam. Krishna is at Hokshaja. He's beyond this world, beyond our senses. And the third reason is we have mudha drisha. We have the vision of mudhas, the vision of fools. So we cannot see Krishna. So I want you to also try to see Krishna in your life tomorrow in a different way, in a new way, and or even in an old way that you've forgotten how to do. And if you can't see Krishna somehow, you fail in that, that's not a failure. Just analyze, okay, why? What was my problem today? Why couldn't I see Krishna in my life today? What stopped me? What prevented me from seeing Krishna? And I heard all of you are up in the mountains, so I think it should be easy there to see Krishna in the mountain. No distraction there, right? Except, I don't know, maybe there is distraction. We have sages in the Himalayas here. They have come down to visit us. We were talking about the sages in the Himalayas. No more sages these days. They've come down to get computer courses and go to the West. I think you're taking the sages back up to the Himalayas, so that's very good.
Sitting in the jungle and chanting is reasonable.
Sitting where?
Sitting and chanting in jungle, in this club. In that place, in jungle.
In jungle, yeah.
It's a famous temple. A very old man, maybe 80, 90 years old.
Which temple?
We have center now, we actually came from here.
Yeah.
New training center.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so we say it's like, it means the jungle and the ancient temple, Changunara.
Wow. You have a temple.
He went other year. He went with you. You gave class in Nijala
Kanchi. Oh yeah, that place. Very good.
And I was sitting there, an old man, local man. He said, maybe 50, 60 years ago, only I had seen South Wind in this forest. Like, since that time, I never saw.
Yeah, yeah.
After so many years, I saw first time South. He came to me.
Yeah, the sages have left the Himalayas. They have left the mountains. They've gone for the computer course. They want to go to the West now. It's better than Himalayas. More facilities. Anyway, that's okay. You bring them back. That's very good. Yeah, I know. That's what we just said.
They forgot already the sages. Usually they used to stay in my house.
Really?
To feed them. But this man was getting by with pizza, and I said, he was in our challenge. I said, after so long time, I was almost crying. I saw first time in our area.
Yes, there is hope, because Prabhupada is sending sadhus all over the world. So there is new hope for the world. Yes. So we'll stop here. Try to do your homework tomorrow. Every day I'm going to see, this is part three of our study, is to apply it to your life. So now we just say some words and you go home and you forget. We say some words and you go home and you try to apply. Every day we'll give you a new homework. So tomorrow's homework, see Krishna in your life. And if you don't see, what's the problem? Why not? Why can't you see Krishna? Okay, any questions? How about today's class? Shinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro. Yeah, we could write it maybe. Is there something to write here? Or? There is something there? No. Okay, if you bring a pen, we can write it for you. This is taken from the verse of Bhagavatam 12, 13, 18. How to study Srimad Bhagavatam? When we were starting our Bhakti Vaibhav course, we asked His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami how to study Bhagavatam. He gave us this verse, 12, 13, 18. Last line of the verse, Shinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro.
No, nothing to I can write it tomorrow.
You'll bring something? Okay.
Since you gave the verse, I can make
sure. Pardon me?
Since you gave the verse.
Yeah, I gave you the verse, so you can look it up. 12, 13, 18. Look it up. It's the last line of the verse. It's the process for studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Given to us by His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami, who has left the world in January. 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 18, last line, how to study Bhagavatam. We're hearing, we're chanting, studying, and we are going to apply it to our life, thinking how to apply it to our lives. Kunti is seeing Krishna in so many ways, so we want you to also see Krishna.
Okay, I can read.
So this is how we're going to be studying these prayers. I think you need to make some more copies of this. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned about the humbleness.
Humility.
Humility.
Uh-huh.
How to increase
humility? Two ways. One way to increase humility is to meditate on who you are, spiritually, really who you are. I am simply a very small spiritual atom, servant of Krishna. And Krishna is very great. I am very small. And this material world is a very difficult place. So therefore, let me surrender to Krishna. That will help. And then another thing is by serving the devotees. And so meditation is one way and serving is the other way to develop humility. And tomorrow's class will be about protection and dependence on Krishna. Then Tuesday, day after tomorrow, will be on Krishna's contradictory behavior, and it'll be all about Krishna's mercy. So what is the mercy? How to get the mercy of Krishna? Mercy meditation. And then for Thursday, it'll be Krishna's appearance and how to please Krishna. And then Friday will be Kunti's final prayer. Attraction and at the same time renunciation and attraction, both together. Renunciation without attraction to Krishna won't work. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. See you tomorrow. I'll try to be here at 4:30. I have to leave my house at 3:30 to be here at 4:30. Thank you all for coming, and we hope the sages come from the Himalayas again and give us their darshan. Yes. Hare Krishna. Pardon me?
You are meditating. Meditating.
I know. I also thought I wasn't coming this time because the day before I called, no ticket. And then I couldn't download the ticket. It was... And then I had to go everywhere, here and there, trying to print it and download it. Less than 24 hours. I had the desire. Therefore, Hare Krishna. And you all had the desire, so I made it.
We'd like to welcome Narayana Mataji, our spiritual family. Thank you for attending. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Actually, we are...
Actually, I'm
senior members.
Yeah. Everybody, please bring your sheets back tomorrow. We're going to need them every day. And the originals that you didn't give. Oh, you have. Okay. Yeah, and maybe you should make some more because we seem to have more people. Or they can pass them back and we can pass them out again. What should we do?
Make a copy.
Oh, okay. Okay. You make more copies. And make sure you bring your sheets back tomorrow. For this. Actually, I'm not Bitch Bussy anymore. I'm traveling all over the world and preaching. I'm 5 months out. I just came back in Vrindavan and I came here.
Your heart is in
Vrindavan. Yes. Very good. You're right. Oh, now I sent some poetry books over here, a packet of books. I wonder who would know. He got them? Kachi, did you get a packet of books from Vrindavan that I sent? Office. Okay, good. Okay, good. That's good. Did you get one? Did you take one? Whole packet is there. Okay. Yeah, I want to give you a copy. Yeah, I'll give you a copy for your ashram up there. And yeah, it's a japa meditation.